Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, April 18th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, a little pressure on gold today. Gold was down 140 at 1233.70. Silver's down 3 cents at 1630. Platinum is down 9 at 980, and we have palladium down 1 at 572. Gold once again down 140 at 1233. The USDX today down 0.22 at 94.49, with crude oil down 0.57 at 39.79. And the paper markets today, hey, everybody can go on vacation. The Dow closed up, of course, 18,004. Yay, it's over that 18,000 again. It was up 106 points. The NASDAQ was up 21 at 49.60. The S&P is up 13 at 2,094. So a lot of meetings going on last week over the weekend. G20 and the IMF group of thugs met this weekend. And, this is would have been nice to be a little fly on a wall somewhere to see the promises and, how they're going to continue to manipulate the world markets. But obviously it was successful as the Dow once again moved above 18,000. World markets, they were pretty much unchanged all over the, Europe and the Asian markets, pretty much unchanged. Let me pull up the 10-year Treasury. The yield, 1.77%. So it was up just 0.02. So not a big move in the 10-year yield. So, it was just another one of these strange days. I think you've got something on this, Al. You had the Saudis and Russia and OPEC meeting this weekend, but it doesn't seem like an agreement was passed.
We wanted to agree on a oil production freeze, and this is an article from CNN Money. It says top oil countries fail to reach deal on production freeze. World's top producers, oil producers, walked away from a marathon negotiating session on Sunday without an agreement to freeze crude production. a failure that could spook investors and send tremors through the oil market. The oil ministers of most OPEC member countries, along with a handful of outsiders, including Russia, spent more than 12 hours in consultation on a potential freeze. Together, they supply more than half the world's oil. The idea that a freeze would help to put a floor under crude prices, which have risen from $26 per barrel in February to above $40 per barrel, on expectations that the deal would happen. While they had the expectations, the deal didn't happen. Crude did not fall dramatically today. why do you think it was rejected, Melody?
Well, Iran. And, I, you know, that was the major, you know,
well, here's what I think.
problem in there.
But they went
scenario.
Without actually having been there. I certainly don't know why it was rejected. But it seems to me that the countries that produce less oil would be against a oil freeze, a cap on production. Because Saudi Arabia is ramped up to where it's producing about almost as much as it can, in theory. Russia is producing an enormous amount. If they were going to have an oil cap freeze right now, it would guarantee that the big countries, the big producers, would continue to produce a lot. And it would guarantee that the smaller producers could never produce more than what they're producing right now. And I kind of suspect, I'm just guessing, speculating here, but I'm speculating that the smaller oil producers are the ones that said, no, I'm not going to agree that Russia and Saudi Arabia can produce half the world's oil and we can't get into that. We're not going to accept that, that cap in production unless Saudi Arabia and Russia probably cut back, not just set a cap at their current high limits, but actually cut back. That'd be a guess. So,
but if they cut back, theoretically, it would.
No. Yeah. Go
if
ahead.
If they cut back, if they capped the oil prices, that means the price.
No, they're not capping prices. They're capping production.
Production, which would make the price of oil rise.
Not necessarily, but it would guarantee. It would guarantee share a market. You're going to say, okay, I'm producing the same amount as I'm producing, and I won't produce anymore.
I get that. But my point is the lower-producing countries are getting creamed already with the oil prices. So if they would cap production, to me, it would stabilize the oil prices, possibly raise them, which would actually help the smaller countries. Because it would remain steady or might go up. If they don't cap production, that means there's going to be this huge overabundance, and you could pretty much expect the prices to drop again, and that would put pressure on the smaller countries.
That's the theory, but they're still sitting there, and I'm only speculating, but I'm thinking the smaller producers are saying, look, we know the price is going to go low, right? And we want to be able to compensate for low prices by selling lots of crude oil.
That's
so we don't want a cap. We don't want a production cap. Now, it's a certain amount of wishful thinking, and I'm not telling you that's God's truth. I'm just saying
you would think
that everyone involved in the production of oil has a vested interest in going into a production cap. And if they're not going to agree to it, it suggests to me that somebody is trying to take advantage. And they're trying to hustle the rest of them. And some of them are saying, you're not going to pull that on me. So,
well,
I'm
also
just
what it tells me,
small ones.
Also, what it tells me, too, is who got to the Saudis before the meeting. Maybe the good old U.S. of A. out of Washington, because I think he was scheduled to have a meeting with the Saudis. I don't recall if it was prior to or after. However, kind of makes you wonder what was promised so that this deal didn't get done, that there wasn't an arrangement between Russia. And I think that was I think that is probably what kept the deal from getting done, is bringing in and befriending Russia to some sort of an agreement, perhaps.
Probably, maybe. We will find out when we see St. Peter for sure. Then we'll know for sure.
Well, I mean,
in the meantime,
I think
we can speculate.
Well, yeah, and that's just, you know, what everybody else does, but ours sounds more plausible and more of a likelihood. But unless you were there, no one really knows. But
there may even be a difference of opinion for the people that are there. They may think there's some people may have quit for one reason and some people may have quit for another one. Hard to say what they thought, but it is interesting. These people have been in the oil producing nations. They don't seem to be able to play nice. You know? And you know, why do you think that? Why do you think that is?
Money.
I think it's money. It's not
power, control.
I think it may be they've had so much money in the past from producing, from the production of crude oil, that right now when they get tight, they have all the money they've had in the past has kind of spoiled them, maybe even predisposed them to become something like criminal organizations who are used to throwing their weight around and getting what they want. Now all of a sudden they find out they can't. And it's like having a group of gangsters get together to decide who's going to run this section of the city and who's going to run that section, who's going to run the third section. These people are not used to giving up sections or giving up making concessions, and they're under a lot of pressure.
Well, I think the houses, the kingdom is changing. I mean, you've had a lot of the kings, the older ones who went into agreements with the United States and so forth. You know, they've all passed on, and you know, now you have young, aggressive, that want to take over and control and do things their way. And I don't think that connection between the U.S. and the Saudis is important anymore, not to the degree that it once was. Still important to us because of the reserve currency. But so I think you're seeing these changes in the oil industry mainly due to the, you know, the new young family members that are coming into power.
Well, that's always the case in a sense. Mm-hmm. Every generation thinks they can take over and run things, you know, better than the previous generation. That's mm-hmm. part of human nature. When you get young, super rich people, that's when it gets really flaky. Not only in Saudi Arabia, but in this country.
Like the Zuckerberg.
People like Mark Zuckerberg, exactly. He's got more money than
and he's too young to understand. He's too young to have experienced much world policies and politics, you know. Which is frightening, you know, because he has a lot of power.
It isn't. You can sit back and say young people are idealistic. At the same time, you can say young people are without experience. Mm-hmm. All right? They are idealistic. They are ignorant. Two things going at the same time. It makes them hard to handle, hard to satisfy, and also it makes them likely to, you know, suffer a certain amount of failure and frustration. But to be young and super rich, I think you can throw your weight around. That's pretty spectacular. It's really. Not a commonly seen circumstance. It's like people that were appointed to be kings when they were 10 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
Their dad died, their father died, and they were the next in line, and they've been king ever since they were 12 years old.
North Korea comes to mind.
Yeah, there's another one.
Yeah.
There's another one. There should be a law, Melody, that you can't have more than $1 billion or maybe even more than $100 million until you're at least 50 years old.
Until you're 50?
Yeah, exactly.
And until then, they need to share it with all of us.
I don't. Of course, they're not going to agree to that. I get that.
But perhaps they should share it to those who pay taxes. Of course, today's the last day for your taxes to be filed. It was extended because the 15th was on a Friday. 45% of Americans pay no federal income tax. An estimated 4 45.3% of American households, roughly about 77.5 million, will pay no federal income tax, according to data for the 2015 tax year. That means they won't owe their state income tax either. Roughly
when
half.
It says 45%. Does it mean 45% legally won't pay income tax this year? Or does it mean that many people are just saying, I'm not paying?
No, this is actually legally. It's just
legally.
Whether they call it.
Then the number of non-filers is higher than 45%.
Correct. But we're talking about those who do pay, who do have taxes, you know, that work and so forth. So roughly half pay no federal income tax because they have no taxable income. And the other roughly half get enough tax breaks to erase their tax liability. So
you mean half of the 45%?
Correct.
All right.
That's absolutely.
And on top of that, you have non-filers.
Mm-hmm.
People who are, in theory, obligated to pay taxes, but they just don't bother. And that is, according to some sources, that's a significant number. What it gets down to, Melody, is there may only be a couple dozen people in the whole country that are still paying income taxes. I don't know. Maybe there's more than that.
Well, you know, I'm one of them then. And, you know, of course I pay taxes and, you know, there's some taxes I disagree with. There's some taxes I don't believe we should pay. And certainly they get you coming and going. They get you. Everything is taxed. When you look at your cable bills, your phone bills, gasoline, we'd probably be paying 50 cents a gallon, but the rest is all taxes.
Yep.
And it's taxes everywhere. And phone bills, my phone bill would be $50. Instead, it's $1,000 because of tax. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, from any type of payments, I do believe we're probably paying, 80%? Bill Clinton said we'd be paying, 85%,
90%? He said 80%. That was back in the 90s.
Yeah.
He said the next generation. And it's interesting because I've got another article here from Reuters, and it says many U.S. corporations pay little in federal income taxes. And according to the article, at least two-thirds of all active U.S. corporations paid nothing in federal income taxes during the 2006-2012 six-year period, two-thirds paid nothing, despite an income-dependent statutory tax rate of 15% to 35%. This is from the Government Accountability Office in a recent report. Among large profitable corporations, 19.5% paid nothing. All right? What they're saying, two-thirds are just, they're not making any money anyway, so they don't pay any taxes or they don't pay much. But 20% of the balance, well, the remaining one-third, I don't know, you know, they play with these numbers and they sometimes don't exactly make sense, but it's still says large profitable entities, of those, 19.5% paid nothing. And this is because of loopholes and subsidies and one thing another like that. This report, which came at the behest of Democratic presidential contender Bernie Sanders, whose campaign circulated the study. So Bernie wants something done where the corporations, you know, I hear corporations complain that the tax rate in the United States is too high at 35%. But the reality is that the average corporation may be paying, they're unlikely to be paying 35% of profits to the federal government. If they're making any money in the first place and they are taking advantage of all the loopholes that are available and the deductions and whatever and exemptions, the corporations are undertaxed, typically, and it's arguable, although people would scream at the idea, it's arguable the American people are undertaxed. And why do I say that? How are we getting all our goodies from government? Government is borrowing the money. That's why we have the enormous national debt, right? We're getting potholes repaired. That's not an accurate example, but they're paving over the potholes on your street based on borrowed money, not taxes. the taxes to pay for a lot of your potholes and whatever else we get out of government are coming. They're going to be imposed at some point in the future and probably on future generations. But nobody's paying their taxes, and the government, the only way they can hold it together is by borrowing. And when you look at it and you think about it, you say, my God, how long can this continue? I mean, it is inevitable. They must raise taxes, and they must cut government spending. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival Programs, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just like to, as usual, remind the listeners to go to our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you can listen to the radio archives there on the radio page. Or listen live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And a lot of you took advantage of Dave Krieger's Swiss francs and British sovereigns. They were a great deal. They're a nice little addition to your portfolio. So just give us a call, 800-375-4188. What's next, Al?
Well, we got Jim from West Virginia is on the phone, and he is waiting to beguile us with some of his interesting comments. Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm not going to beguile anybody. I might start screaming and beating my head against a wall or
Don't hurt the wall.
Biting my tongue. Every time I hear, oh, a corporate income tax or any kind of a damn business tax, chisel this in stone, there is no such thing as a business tax. There are only customer taxes. Period.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, okay. I mean, seriously, people say, well, maybe they should bring them back over here and make them pay the money. Well, let's grab people from overseas, stick a gun in their face, say, give me your dough. The simple truth of the matter is we've driven them offshore, and we can't blame the Chinese for that. We did it. Now,
well, it's a question of the government is constantly raising. The government wants to raise taxes. The government may need to raise taxes, and so they tax one thing, and then they say, oh, you're paying too much taxes, so in order to compensate for you paying a lot, we're going to raise taxes on these people over here. And then when they get their taxes jacked up, they say, oh, you're paying so much, we're going to tax these other people over here, and they play one end against the other. The object is to get the money without the public realizing that, as you say, all the taxes are on the customers. So we're not taxing you, we're taxing the corporations. Well,
what they do is they appeal to the right wing one year and the left wing the other year.
That's right.
Let me go with this some more. It makes me so dang mad because it's a tax of deceit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that there's a city, and don't tax me, don't tax the, tax those rich B-words up on the hill. Well, what if the rich B-words happen to own the shopping center and they happen to own the bakery? Guess who pays their taxes? If you sit there and you buy a sack of groceries, some of that money went to pay every tax on everybody who worked at that store, every tax on every utility. Taxes in the economy are like toxins in the ecology. Economy means household of money from Greek. Ecology, household of logic from Greek. They are just like toxins in the ecology. They accumulate in the final product. All taxes show up in the price of the final product. The only thing, something else too, really jacks my wires. People should learn by now, you want more of it, subsidize it. Even if you don't want more of it, subsidize it, you'll get more. If you want less of it, tax it. Even if you don't want less of it, tax it, and you'll get less. And
you know, one thing you got to say here is this is not just the fault of the government being greedy for taxes and greedy to expand the size of government. And a lot of them are. They have no question that they're responsible. But this is also, in large measure, the need for more tax revenue or more borrowing is sustained by all the people who want some extra benefits. I need a better free lunch today. So let's raise taxes so I can have a better free lunch. Or I need a subsidy on my mortgage, or I need a subsidy on this, that, or the other. It's one of the things, we're all in this. Insofar as we each want something from government, we are empowering government to go out and tax people to pay for whatever it is we want. And insofar as we're dumb enough, this new politician comes in and he promises a new free lunch. And you're not just going to get a hamburger, ladies and gentlemen. Vote for me and you'll get surf and turf. Well, public votes for that stuff and then somebody's got to pay for it. You know, so public's in on this too. We are all responsible for higher taxes. And I'm not sure how we're going to correct that. What do you think, Jim? How do we correct the people's appetite for easy money?
Okay, let me just take it this way. In 1975, I read a Reader's Digest article. I was already aware of it. And it said that like 30-some percent of the money that you go to buy something goes to pay taxes. It was like 20-some percent in the early to middle 60, 20 to 25, depending on your high tax, low tax, or what have you. And I thought, oh, good heavens, I bought hundreds of reprints of that and handed it out to people. I was thinking, finally, they'll learn. Now it's up to closer to 70%.
Yeah,
but you know, it amazes me because people think, for whatever reasons, that they don't pay very many taxes. No, almost everything they pay is taxes.
Yeah,
business taxes are the worst. I'm going to tell you something else too. And this really jacks my wires. This tax more to get more for the government only goes so far. There's a cap in the name of a laffer. Now, Adam Smith knew this too, like a couple hundred years ago. But once you reach a certain point, in your tax rate, you get less and less and less money. And that's where we are right now. Who are you going to tax? Now,
if you have a business. Who are they going to tax, Jim? I mean, what do you think is going to happen with the national debt? Can it be paid without raising taxes? Can it ever be paid?
It can't be paid, period. Around 2000, we reached a threshold. And I'll tell you what that threshold was. That was a situation where the economy could have supported paying off the debt, starting to pay off the debt, if they would cut off the number of people working for government about 10% per year for several years running. At this point, there is no way in the hot place or in heaven or on earth that this debt could be paid off. It will be inflated away. It will be cheated away. But the worst taxes of all, I want to hammer this until I can scream, are business taxes, including capital gains tax. Capital is seed money. If you take somebody's seeds, you ain't going to have much of a garden next year, all right? Capital gains taxes are evil. You've already saved that money. You should not be taxed on savings. Now, and it's the investment sector which gets hit so hard, savings investment, because it's easy to pull that money out. Now, business taxes only serve to chisel this in stone, decrease availability, increase price of products and services, suppress wages, add to unemployment, and drive the business out of the taxing jurisdiction or out of business. Now, that is exactly the formula for destroying an economy. These so-and-sos have known it for 200-some years in economics that I'm aware of. I haven't read anything before Adam Smith's work in 1776. But if I hear one, Bob Chapman, that's one thing I take him to task for. I sit there and say, why in the bleep do you want to tax the corporation? If you tax GM, you get to buy more expensive cars. Isn't that nice? But so many people are so dang dumb. I've had several Democrats.
It's going to come down to the people anyway, no matter. The whole point of it's all unfair. You know, I mean, yeah, okay, you don't tax the corporations. I mean, the problem is we got too much debt anyway. They need to stop. You need to fix our monetary policy. You need to, you know, fix the problems before you can fix any tax problems. But the thing of it is, Jim, I mean, how much does a person get taxed? I mean, we're going to get taxed anyway.
That's one of the things about it. You know, you get into stuff, we're still going to pay in tax. You're getting
so
into
the guy's
question.
Going to get it one way or another.
But what percentage? You know, in the Bible, they got a flat tithe, 10%. That's good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough for God. Why can't we just do 10% across the board? And that includes Warren Buffett, and Jamie Dimon. None of the deductions and loopholes, rest of it. The Internal Revenue Tax Code, it consists essentially of a mathematical formula. How much did you make? Send us 10%. And from on individuals, if you
let
made it off
blow
your job, 10%. Made it off your corporation, 10%.
Yep.
They use all of these variable taxes in order to play one side against the other. You and I will not necessarily object to their next new tax because it doesn't impact us directly. And we won't have enough support when they do come up with a new tax that does impact us directly. We won't necessarily have enough support because we've been divided and conquered. One flat tax for everybody. And I don't care if you make your money as a service worker, you got a regular job, self-employed, corporation, one flat tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody has to be responsible. Nobody wants to pay 11%. If we say, okay, we're 10%, that's it. Okay, who will vote for 11%? Nobody. There'll be no special interests. We can avoid being played against each other. So
now,
does that make any sense to you, Jim?
It makes sense to me if and only if, chiseled in stone, you do not tax businesses. If you want less of a tax.
That's what I'm getting across. The tax is imposed on each individual. And however you get money, you kick back 10%. All right? If you get it from a business, fine. You get it as an employee, fine. However you get it, we don't care. You got the money, send us 10%.
If you're an individual and you have an income, you get paid. You get taxed 10%. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Let me blow your mind. You refer to tithing. That's another scam, big-time scam. Now, I have done more than a little bit of cursory Bible study, okay? I'm just going to leave it at that. Yeah, I'm not here to blow my horn. But I don't remember, my memory's shot now, but I don't remember which book in the Old Testament refers to tithing. That's 10% of your increase. Listen carefully. It's not 10% of your income or what you have to eat. It's your increase. Look it up. So that means if you have 100 goats this year and you get 110 goats next year, you owe one goat to the Lord, so that if the economy thrived, so did the church. But that tithing is another scam. Oh, you owe 10% of your income. Defined income is 10% of your increase. And I found me a couple of Hebrew scholars who backed me up on this. So basically, what it boils down to, God only wanted our tithes and offerings. Offerings, your free will offering. Thank you, God. Now, what I'm trying to tell you folks is this. I have turned a number of different Democrats into Republicans. I've had like four or five of them over the years tell me this. And they say, did you know you turned me into a Republican? I said, I'm sorry. Right. He said, yeah. He said, there's no such thing as a business tax. And if I know a lot of good-hearted liberals. I really do. Wonderful, fine people, but economically terribly ignorant. And they've never had a business. They do not understand this. But the simple truth of the matter is we're in a tax rate somewhere between 60 and 70% overall. Most governments, countries collapse at around 50. I'm surprised we've gotten this far. But at this point, if you raise the taxes on any more farms, you're going to just destroy farms. I'm sorry, go ahead.
How did we get this far? What's the secret to our apparent success?
Paper and money.
I think that's part of it. And also the idea that we're world reserve currency. And the idea that the United States is a safe haven. You can lend your money to the United States government and expect to get it back. I think that all goes to it more so than you would see in other countries. But we're still going to get the fan. We're still going to get it before this is all over, and we're going to have to face reality. And nobody's going to like it. I can laugh about it, but nobody's going to like it.
Question. I heard a rumor that China was going to stop accepting U.S. dollars tomorrow. Is that true or not? I have no idea.
But I'm very skeptical.
Yeah, me too.
If
that was something they were going to do, you and I would not hear it.
Well,
we'll hear about it after the fact. Somebody's going to stand up and say, guess what? The premier of China just reported such and such. I've seen the rumor. I find it's improbable. Is it going to happen? Maybe. But I'm just saying, give me 100 rumors like that, and I'll bet you 95, 98 of them are going to turn out to be false. So.
Yep. Well, I heard it, and I always go to everything with an open mind. I ask a lot of questions before I come to my conclusion. I concluded that would be totally stupid, because how could they sell anything? They're a manufacturing society. They must have a market. Henry Ford said, I've got to pay my men some money so they can buy these darn things.
Yeah, but there's another point to this. If China came up with a gold-based currency tomorrow, what would happen to the dollar?
Go to pieces. It'll go to pieces anyway.
What would happen to the national debt? When we say go to pieces, the dollar would inflate and maybe hyperinflate. And as it did, it would reduce the real size of the national debt. And I'm sitting here thinking about this report, and I'm saying, you know, at least one part makes a little bit of sense to me. The government, our government, could say, look, give all the gold to China and let them come up with a gold-based currency. It'll collapse the dollar, but it will also collapse the national debt. And we can zero out the national debt with hyperinflation, and we could be back in business. All right, we'll have a few bad years, and we're back. We're back up, and in a relatively short period of time, this could be, in theory, this could be the reset that people are waiting on. People talk about
there will be a reset.
Yeah.
There will be. Anything based on too many lies will fail. Well, now, there's one thing I've got to mention.
Well, you got to do it in about 45 seconds.
I couldn't do it. The number one problem is too much government, too many people sucking up resources, producing nothing of value that anybody wants. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's exactly right.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, Jim. Thank you. Appreciate your call. We've got another caller. George is on the line, but we'll bring George on after the commercials, which we're going to take here in about I don't know. Frank, why don't we take the commercials right now, about 20 seconds early. Try not to shock anyone's sensibilities. And when we come back, we'll talk to George. George from Toronto. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. And
you keep talking, Al, the 20 seconds.
I'm Addison Stroman, and we're trying to avoid shocking the public by taking the commercials too early. Got to ease them into this. You understand it's a political thing.
Heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we've got a caller, George from Toronto, who's been holding on the line for maybe 10 minutes now, if he's still holding. George, are you there?
I'm still here, Al.
Thank you for your patience.
That's okay. It seems to be a phone-in day today. Listen, I guess you heard in the news last week, Deutsche Bank was found guilty of rigging the
manipulating the price of silver.
Right. Was it just silver?
Yeah.
Well, we can assume probably gold as well. But
no, it's surely, if they're manipulating silver, they're manipulating gold. But regardless,
my question to you and Melody, is this going to stop them from manipulating the gold going forward now? Because
it's going to slow them down for sure.
Deutsche Bank is going to be squealing out some of the good stuff, right?
Well,
and
part of their settlement agreement, and I'm not sure if they're facing criminal liability or not, but part of their settlement agreement is that Deutsche Bank is going to release the names of other banks that are also involved in the manipulation.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Now, so far, they've only identified two banks, HSBC and the Bank of Nova Scotia. That's all
it's
been. Maybe that's all they're going to do. But the question is, will they identify any American banks?
Yeah.
And once these people start identifying each other, how far is this going to go? I'd say this is evidence. I look at this. And in fact, tomorrow we're going to have Greg Hunter on the program. And he recently interviewed Kirby. What is it, Ron Kirby?
Ron Kirby?
Yeah, he's got a great interview, and we'll talk to him on the program tomorrow, where Kirby is talking about these same things we're addressing here, the Deutsche Bank conviction and their agreement, and how far is this going to go. And Kirby thinks this is going to blow everything up within a couple of weeks. I don't think it's going to happen that quickly.
Not fast, but it sure maybe will set the wheels in motion, which I'm hoping.
Yeah, I think it's going to set the wheels in motion, and people look at this. You know, there's no telling what will happen. There may be a sudden and explosive result out of this. I don't mean that it'll happen in the next couple of days, but it could be. It's potentially possible. But I'm inclined to think we're going to see this is going to contribute to a 20% rise in the price of gold before the end of this year. And it could be a lot more than that. It could be considerably more than that. But I can't prove it, but I'm saying this is enough. If somebody, especially if someone goes to jail for this, all right, somebody's been convicted now for price manipulation. Are they just going to get a wrist slap? I don't think so, because I don't think they would have agreed to tell us who the other bankers are that are involved in this unless they were facing some very serious personal threats. Somebody's getting tough with these guys. That message has to go out to the Wall Street bankers and everybody else, all the central bankers. They're sitting back and they're saying, you know, we better back off on this gold and silver manipulation thing or they're going to hang us.
Yeah. There's a lot of things coming together. You got the Panama Papers coming out. Well, they're out. And that's going to be interesting to see how some of the elite get, you know, their names mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you followed what Jim Rickards is saying these days.
I superficially. I don't follow him closely, but superficially I kind of catch the headlines. What part of what
he's got
said
a good interview on the net there. You can probably Google it.
Uh-huh.
And basically he's saying, you know, that the Fed is pretty much out of ammunition, money. So what will happen is they'll go to the IMF, and they'll start, you know, printing up SDRs, which aren't backed by anything. It's just like the U.S. dollar. And that'll fail. And I forget what he said after that, Al. It is a long interview, and it's a lot to take in. But it'd be worth checking out.
No, I agree. Rickards has good knowledge. The only thing that it turns into, he puts out good information, but he also turns most of it into an infomercial, and 20% of his videos are buy my book, buy my book, buy my book, and it kind of puts
I've noticed that too. But he did have some good charts on there when
stuff.
If you look at it and you follow his logic, it makes a lot of sense. I'm not saying I back all he says, but it's worth a look.
No, I agree. I mean, there's no shortage of information. And there is just growing instability. If you just look at what's going on in the Middle East, we talked earlier in the program about their attempt to cap production for the oil-producing nations, the oil-exporting nations. What do you think that's going to do? If they can't make an agreement as to how much oil they're going to produce, do you think that's going to help stabilize the Middle East, or do you think it's going to push deeper into turmoil? George?
I would probably guess more turmoil.
I would too. These people are going to be hungry, and the place is already crazy. It's already insane. It's like having crazy people with nuclear weapons, for God's sake. It's bad enough you have to deal with crazy people, or bad enough you got to deal with nuclear weapons, but when you got crazy people with nuclear weapons, that's got to attract your interest. This is a serious situation, and we just see circumstances that seem to be pushing us a little closer, a little closer, a little closer to an edge. And I don't know if it's the edge of the abyss or just the edge of a pothole, but we're getting closer to a significant edge here.
The only thing I'm going to say, though, is you had the LIBOR rate manipulation rigging. Yeah. I mean, that involved every aspect of city, state, governments, bonds, housing, mortgages. I mean, it that is was based, and what did these banks get? What was the after effect? And although I'm glad to see that this has come to pass and so forth, but what difference is it really going to make? No one goes to jail. They'll find some scapegoat.
So far.
We get an introduction that, yeah, okay, the prices were manipulated. So it might take investors might take a different view of gold and silver. And, yeah, we might see it rise. But as far as the banks, as far as, we'll see how long it stays in the news. And it might just
how
be.
How long will
and,
it be?
And, hey, I'm in the business. And, you know, nothing irritates me more than to see, you know, days like today, days like we've seen where gold and silver should be higher. And they're not. Yes, I know they're rigged. And does this bring the actual rigging to the end? That's the key. And I hope it does.
Not. And the answer is not yet. But, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you couldn't get anybody to believe there was any rigging.
Yeah,
now we're getting to a point where people
are. That's how the LIBOR rate was. People knew for years it was going on. Little Timmy Geithner knew it was going on for years.
Yeah, sure.
What'd they do about it? Nothing.
Nothing. They're in on the racket.
They need it. They're in on it.
Yeah, no, they're part of the racket. But the question is, how much of the public recognizes it? And as more members of the public recognize the rigging, they're going to be ready to vote for a candidate like Donald Trump or the next version that comes out in 4 years, the next guy comes out and says, I'm going to hang all these criminals. Right now, it sounds like an impossible thing. We're not going to see a politician who wants to hang everybody in the Federal Reserve. That's crazy talk. Well, let's wait for the next presidential election in 4 years and see if it's still crazy talk. We're moving in a direction that sensible people have to sit back and say, you know, I don't think I want to get caught manipulating the price of gold or silver. I'm getting out of here because this is going to blow up. We're on the edge of it. Now, might be a couple of years before it really hits the fan, but might only be a few months, too. Hard to say. But
you know,
it's not going
else.
On for another decade or two.
There's something else that came up in the news recently, too, Al, that there's a class action lawsuit taking place in Canada against Deutsche Bank for rigging the gold market.
Mm-hmm.
So that might bring out some more information.
All of this is coming out.
There's no secrecy in the internet age.
There's no secrecy in the internet age. Panama can't even protect the secret documents of corrupt government officials. I mean, this is crazy. There's no secrecy. It's not just there's no privacy for me. There's no secrecy for the crooks in government. It's going to be exposed. And it's got to be.
Well, you
what's
know
the
what
point of going in government
though,
if you can't rob them?
Last,
you can't rob people
last
get away with
it. The last straws they take us to war because they get so desperate, right? And I hope it doesn't come to that. But it could, you know, the way that they are fooling around in the Middle East there, right? Wouldn't take much to really blow it up. And then when you got the elections in the U.S., they're trying to, like, make it sure Trump doesn't get in, right?
Yeah, I know.
And if enough dissent about that, that could create some riots. You might get civil disobedience and a lot of nastiness in the United States. That's what I'm fearful of, and they might just call it an emergency and just put down martial law.
Yeah, but they can't do that. All right? Everybody worries about this martial law. They don't have enough resources to impose it on the whole nation. They can set up martial law in a particular city or maybe a couple of them, but they don't have the resources. We had our hands full trying to deal with Iraq, which is a country the size and population of Texas. And we exhausted the military, very nearly bankrupted in some regards, by just trying to control one nation the size of Texas. And it was essentially a police state that we imposed there for 8.5 years. And we couldn't get it done. How are we going to control the whole United States of America? We don't have enough police. We don't have enough military to do it. If this thing really breaks down, there are going to be people who are going to be begging for martial law to stop the gangs and the looters and whatever else happens around here. We won't be afraid of it. We'll be begging for
the game plan. That's what the elite would really like, you know?
Well, I understand. But you never know. If it gets unstable, there's no telling where it goes from there. You can have
a political
revolution
like
that installs
a
completely new government.
Come on, guys, let's go down and burn down a bank or something today. You know?
Well, what's the point? I mean, but there's probably nothing in it to burn other than ones and zeros on a hard drive. Probably don't even have enough money to make a decent to cook a hamburger, paper dollars.
Yeah, but you know what happens when people get all riled up. They don't think straight.
Well, that's true always.
You know?
I mean, it's rare to find people who are really thinking straight.
I know, even for myself, I'm finding it hard to keep my head with all this stuff going on, you know?
I understand that. It's not just hard to understand, it's hard to believe. A lot of the things we see, you look at it, you see what you, this must be the truth. I'm looking at something, I think it must be the truth. And yet you shake your head in disbelief. You sit back and say, oh my God, that can't be possible. And yet you keep looking. If your eyes are seeing properly, if you're hearing properly, you see it and say, oh my, that can't be true. And yet you keep seeing it and seeing it and seeing it. And finally you say, my God, it's true. Not what I want.
I know.
You know, not what I want, but it does appear to be true. So, I don't know. How are things up in Canada? Are you buying any property up in Vancouver?
Do you think I'm a millionaire, Ralph?
I don't know. I thought we'd get a clue. If you told us you were going to buy yourself a house up in Vancouver, the prices there, I've seen that they have just...
How do you like your new leader?
Oh, well, you know, the landing gear needs a bit of work on, but other than that, it's not too bad, you know. I might get a new paint job on it.
Huh?
I'll probably put on a discount gold and silver trading.
Good. No? Good. We'll give you...
Well, I was wondering how you like Trudeau.
Oh, Trudeau. I don't like him. I didn't like his dad. His dad was quite articulate, but... This guy, he just reads from a script. Justin is not his father, and he's just a puppet for the New World Order, as far as I'm concerned. And he's a socialist. His dad was a socialist. But the young people, they buy into this stuff because they don't know any better. And it's the same happening down in the States with Sanders. Mm-hmm. The young people are all for Sanders. They don't seem to
know.
Well,
you can always send Trudeau down here, and he can run for president in this country. We seem to have developed an appetite. For foreigners coming into this country to run for president. We've had Obama. If Cruz can't make it, we can have Trudeau. Maybe Putin. You know?
Yeah, but he'll probably change it, so you have to learn to speak French down there.
Well, maybe so.
Oui.
I think we'll probably have to. I think it'd be easier if he learned to speak Spanish, don't you think?
The way things are going, you could be right about that.
Yeah, I understand.
All righty, George. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
All right, George. Thank you for your call.
We're just about out of time, are we not?
Yep. Got about 45 seconds, Melody.
Well, you're the one that likes to talk, so you just I do want to thank the listeners for joining us today, and make sure you get to the website at dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. We got some great prices here on all of our coins, so whether it's gold, silver, and even platinum and palladium. Platinum is a pretty good buy right now with it going back down below 1,000. So anytime it dips, if you already have your gold and silver, I don't buy platinum to... You know, instead of gold, but if you already have your gold and silver and you want to diversify a little bit, platinum's a great way to do it. So just give us a call.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Jim from West Virginia, George from Toronto, Melody and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? There never seems to be a single penny left for me.